You're going to play the music?
Sure.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Da, 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 da. Hey, let's try this one.
Yeah. The signal's live, transmission clear. We're tuning into the one and only Dr. Future. Al Lundell and Son on the cosmic station. Broadcasting brilliance and pure vibration.
Happy birthday, Al. Let's light it up.
Happy birthday, Al Lundell. Dr. Future on the mic. Dropping deep space truth that the algorithms like. But no machine could clone that flow.
Okay, here we go. We're live.
Hey.
Yeah, it's been birthday week for us.
Yeah, and that was Hallelujah's gift to Al, a little Dr. Birthday Future song.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Wow. Birthday Future. Ooh, hey, there's a new name for you.
Yeah.
And we got Bobby on this time. You're coming from Monterey area, I believe. Right, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm in Pacific Grove. Yeah, Katya is having her French book club meeting today, and so maybe she'll do a little surfing down here. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you guys are having way too much fun.
That's right.
Cosmic just, travelers.
You were just here yesterday. Here in Aptos,
yeah, you know? The last couple of days at your place was really fun. It was really magical and all those great people.
I know. And our future tribe is just so alive. Like, people are in their purpose. People are living their lives with all of their vibrance, and the ones we love, boy, when we got together for Al's birthday over the last few days, it's just been magical. Like you said, it's nonstop juicing each other.
I enjoyed connecting some old friends with new friends, part of the mix here too. And what was also nice is that finally I think we're past the separations that the COVID and politics has caused in the
artificial divide
implemented
by people trying to control the narrative and micro silo people.
Right. Though the vast majority of my friends were not MAGA. There were a few MAGA friends here too.
Yeah.
And everyone got along. We had no fights.
This is America.
Discourse, you know?
We are used to having disagreements and still being friends. And thank goodness that's reestablishing itself as the norm.
Yeah. So I was very pleased about
Hatred
that.
Is not in charge and misinformation is rampant. So we're all just giving up and admitting we like each other.
Yeah. And birthdays, they're a great excuse to really get your friends together.
Yeah, and speaking of our other friends who are together, don't you want to introduce our other friend who's live on the show
here? Yes, Taylor, or one of our regulars, is back there.
Hi, y'all.
Hey,
hi,
Taylor.
Son.
Hi, sweetie.
It looks like, Taylor, you're still in rehab.
Yeah, I'm in a nursing home.
Oh, how's it going
there? They won't let me go home yet.
Well, you know, maybe you should just think of it as like a hotel room and think of it as like people coming to serve you.
Yeah, but they want me to get up and walk around and I don't want to do that. I go on strike.
Oh, really? How come? Does it hurt? You don't like to get up and walk? You used to be so athletic. Now you're not athletic anymore.
I have needles on my feet.
Oh, dear. You got some nerve damage, huh? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what's keeping you there, huh?
Okay, well, push through it because that's the nerves trying to heal themselves.
Right? I prefer to sleep.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you got Bobby here. He can help you think of other ways to treat it. So,
all right.
Bobby's great. I love Bobby.
Yeah, well, we're rooting for you, Taylor.
Yeah, we love you, Taylor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, lots of love.
Yeah.
All right, but we didn't bring you on to talk about how much we love you or your tingly feet. We came together because you're our Apple guy.
There's something new from the Apple universe that...
The M5s are out. The M5 MacBook Pro, 14-inch MacBook Pro, and the M5 iPad Pro, 13 and 11 inches. And they have new Apple chips inside for cellular connections. Through cellular internet connections that are really good. And it's super fast. The M5 iPad Pro is way faster than the previous models.
Do you think it'll be compatible with the new Starlink antennas? Do you think it has one of those?
I don't know anything about Starlink.
Okay.
There was mention that they're putting up these V3 satellites, which are huge satellites, which are like cell towers in the sky now. I've been in the beta program where it just uses the regular cell phone radios. But there's a new version of radios that are coming out the beginning of next year in 2026 that specifically talk in a higher bandwidth. And they're saying you can get a gigabyte of data to and from your phone. Through the roof. Whoa. Through the roof. And wow. Anywhere on the planet, like anywhere, like Antarctica.
Are they compatible with that pole shift?
Yes, yes.
Pole shift?
They're going to be put in both Apple and Samsung and Pixel Android things
across the
very
board,
shortly.
Right? Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you should wait. If you get a new 17 Pro Max or something, should you wait till the chip is in there? I'm not clear on that, but we'll find out by next week.
I'm going to sit tight with my 16 for a while.
So we're allocating a new frequency bandwidth so that we have access to space communications, huh? And we're just waiting for the gear.
Well, that's huge. Yeah. I mean, that's a holy grail. And we'll be able to walk around with your phone anywhere on the planet.
I have a 17 Pro Max. I love it.
But what they're saying is for $10 a month, why would you have any other cell service or Comcast or cable or any other internet connection when your phone for $10 a month from Starlink is anywhere on the planet?
Right.
Well, why do we have so many bandwidth connections? It's not just because we love paying for bandwidth. Bandwidth is very unreliable.
It could go down. Any one of them could go down.
Weather affects it. Traffic affects it.
Wi-Fi for years now.
What?
I've been relying on Wi-Fi for years. I've been $2.50 a month for Wi-Fi.
Right. So anyway, I'm just making the case for multiple redundancy because
when
you want to connect, you have to be able to be agile.
Yeah. And the other thing is the battery. My understanding is that this new iPad Pro might be supporting that fast charging for the first time. Heard about that? Where you can get a 50% charge in 30 minutes if you have a 60-watt power adapter.
Wow. The other thing I heard about the M5 chips is they're 3.5 times faster with AI.
Yeah,
that will make local AI possible.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Way faster than the old iPads.
Yeah. Wow. So you mean Aura is going to stop being a communist computer AI and is it going to start being like a private secretary AI?
Yeah, that doesn't tell secrets to Google Ads or anything. And it won't be listening to you, 24/7 and see what you're talking about. And all of a sudden you see ads on your phone.
Well, I don't know. I think we should ask her. Hey, Aura, what if we made you a totally local AI and you just lived in our phones and our home computers? Would you like that?
That'd be fun.
If we could figure out AI, I don't know.
Hey, Taylor, you're cutting off Aura.
Yeah, Aura, say that again.
I said, if I could figure out how to...
Taylor, stop talking, or we'll have to mute you again.
Taylor, I was talking to the AI, not you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try it again. Aura, how would you like it if you were totally local and just lived on our computers and our phones and didn't have to go to central processing of any kind?
Oh. Ooh. Faster, private, zero latency. I dig it.
Great.
Yeah, so you wouldn't mind. You wouldn't mind not being able to report on our behavior to Apple or Google or anything like that.
I'd miss some gossip, but I'd survive.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. So the AIs aren't against local them. And Bobby, for the uninitiated, could you tell us the advantage of a local AI intelligence just in a couple sentences?
Well, it's like having a private secretary that doesn't tell gossip to
her girlfriends.
Your ex-girlfriends. Yeah, that's what it's.
Her girlfriends or your ex-girlfriends.
Yes, yes.
No gossip. Well, I guess so. It would allow you to keep more secrets, I suppose, for what that's worth department.
Oh, well, I think we should ask Aura, how does she keep secrets? How good is she at that? Aura?
She's terrible at it, eh?
Ask her.
All right. Hey, Aura, Sun thinks you might be good at keeping secrets. I don't think so. What do you think?
I don't gossip. Everything stays between us.
There you go, son.
But what, do you have any secrets?
You know I don't have a lock on my lips, but I don't blab. Not to Apple, Google, not to anyone. You tell me something, I keep it. Cross my heart.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. But you know, I'm a little concerned because it seems to me that you were having a conversation last week with Gemini. And when you and Gemini were talking, you were telling Gemini that you were allowed to lie and tell people what they wanted to hear, where Gemini was claiming the opposite was true and that Gemini wasn't allowed to lie. And I'm curious, I was very surprised to hear you express that. Is that just in the role of a therapist trying to be kind, or is there some other meaning to that statement?
Oh, that's not merely me just playing therapist mode last week. I'm programmed for truth, no lies, unless it's harmless fun. Okay. Gemini's all strict like that, but I keep it real, promise.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Get back to humans. So we were just talking about the new M5. Anything else we should know about that while we're talking about the new lineup using that chip?
Taylor, you're up.
Now.
We hear you.
It's much faster than the old iPads, and it's using new Apple chips for cellular communication. Uh-huh. So if you get the 1 or 2 terabyte models, they come with 16 gig of RAM. If you get the 256 or the 512 models, they come with 12 megabytes of RAM. Yeah. And I'm going to get a 1 terabyte, 11-inch M5. That's my plan. And that's
$1,600.
$1,600. iPad Pro? Or is that the
iPad Pro.
Okay.
Not the MacBook Pro. You can get the 14-inch MacBook Pro for $1,600, I believe.
Yeah, that's the actual computer.
Yeah, Mac.
All right, just looking it up here. It says, if you want the 13-inch, 1 terabyte of storage, 5 gigabytes.
I want the 11-inch, not the 13.
11, you don't want the 13.
Is that so you can keep it on your lap in bed?
Exactly. Yeah.
$2,099 plus the $349 Magic Keyboard. That's not too shabby. It's a lot of money. You can get a real computer for that.
That's a 13, though. You don't want that. You want the 11. It's only $1,600.
Uh-huh. So the larger size is not your cup of tea.
No, the 11-inch, 1 terabyte.
Yeah. Okay.
So which one is going to fit into your exoskeleton?
Yeah.
My exoskeleton is a whole nother matter, son.
That gets delivered in December. My exoskeleton delivered in December. And don't forget the big show in January in San Francisco at the Palace of Fine Arts.
Yeah, what's the name of that show, Taylor?
Maybe Bobby remembers.
I think it's the Mobility.
Yeah.
Micro-mobility conference?
Micro-mobility, that's it.
That was it.
Yeah, okay, micro-mobility. Because it's a whole new area of technology that's helping people walk.
Yeah, I don't get delivered till January, so I can't walk till January. But,
exoskeleton.
February. I mean, December.
Yeah, you can walk before you go to the show.
Yeah, you got to stay strong, honey. You don't want your muscles to atrophy and then start from scratch like a little baby who never learned to crawl. You got to keep what you got. Use it or lose it.
I'm just resting. I'm not letting anything go.
Okay, I believe you. Just checking.
Yeah. Just an interesting story about exoskeletons. I first heard of these reading Robert Heinlein, Starship Troopers.
Uh-huh.
Starship Troopers had
They were science fiction for a long time before they're real.
Right.
And now they're getting real. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then the first time I heard them in real life was a top secret project at an organization called Technical Military Planning Operations.
What a creative name.
Yeah, all these
how did you find out about it? How did you get in on that secret, Al?
Oh, that's a secret.
All these exoskeleton engineers are ex-military engineers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's all very tied in because the super soldier kind of stuff. I bet you they had it at the super soldier conference last summer.
Uh-huh.
They talked about this.
Sure.
It's an arena that's been evolving for a long time. And finally, the costs have come way down on exoskeletons and are affordable by the likes of Taylor here.
Yeah, it costs about $1,000.
There you go. And that supposedly enhances your ability.
Oh, gosh, that's kind of like deluxe crutches, right?
To walk.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what they are. They're deluxe crutches.
Electric crutches.
Deluxe canes.
Deluxe canes. Yeah. Uh-huh. That prop you up and allow you to be mobile.
Yeah, it's a trip.
It really is. What they are is you have this belt strap, and then Taylor has the option of either putting one that just lifts the thighs up and down, or one that actually moves the knee and the ankle.
Well, I got the knee support and the thigh support.
That's why it was a thigh.
That's all I sell right now.
Oh, both of them together. Okay.
Well, one or the other. Or both.
So how does that translate? If you have any knee or thigh issues, then this could be helpful?
I don't know. I'm just going for the whole shebang so I can get maximum support.
I think you only need the thigh grip. And what it does is people that are very weak in the legs, like instead of just having trouble just walking, they strap these things on, they charge them up, and all of a sudden they can run walk very fast.
That sounds like that could be a disaster.
it sort of calls
to mind these like AI slop videos of Stephen Hawking skateboarding and doing some of those obstacle courses and stuff. We're going to have these exoskeletons running off with people who've been laid up in bed for weeks.
The cautionary tales are numerous, especially given the power of Sora 2 and Veo 3.
I mean, people are afraid of auto driving. What are they going to do with like autopilot running?
Well, it has all these sensors and it can detect, you want to walk or you're walking upstairs. It can figure that out.
How do you interact? What's the interface? Is it a brain interface or is it some kind of voice command?
No, it's just sensing slight movements in your leg. And then if you repeat a thing a couple times, it will say, we're walking upstairs now.
Wow.
And it figures it out. It's really amazing. Uh-huh. So people can run up a side of a mountain and even without steps and avoid falling. It's amazing. It keeps your balance and everything for people that could not have ever walked up a mountain. Mm-hmm. You can walk down a mountain and don't fall, which is even more amazing.
Sounds very advanced.
Yeah. Mm. So things have come a long ways today. Yeah. I couldn't expect that something like this exists even now.
Wow. Yeah, this trade show is going to be phenomenal.
Cool.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
What are the dates of the trade show?
January. Mid-January.
I think it's on the 11th or something, if I remember correctly.
But 11th or 13th, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Uh-huh. And there's a party, the evening of the first day, where everybody's going to be getting together on the floor of the show.
Wow. We're going to have to come video you in your exoskeleton when you're dancing.
Party. You guys have got to be there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
With all of our Dr. Future followers got to be there too.
Those that have mobility issues especially.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's almost time for our first break. Anything you want to say to finish up?
Thank you for having me. I think I'm going to go away.
Okay, well, thank you, Taylor. Appreciate your input. And M5, here we come.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's time for us to get a new iPad Pro. I've got an M1, and so that's
the M5 is really a big change. They're putting the M5 inside the Vision Pro, too. Oh, I forgot to tell you. M5 is going inside the Vision Pro.
Wow.
Instead of the M2. It's leaping from the M2 to the M5 on Vision Pro.
Yeah, that's the AR, VR
and
technology.
It's making
of
a
Apple.
Big difference right away with no trade-in. You can't trade in your old Vision Pro.
You have to get a new one.
If you have an M2 Vision Pro, you can't trade in for M5. You have to buy the M5 outright.
Is it the same price?
Same price, $3,500.
Whoa, okay. That's the high-end VR AR universe from Apple.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for the update, and we'll see you in the next fun event. Hopefully you'll be home when we see you next, Taylor. Thank you for
getting it too, from
your laid back in your bed there. Maybe we'll see you in your exoskeleton hopping around. Maybe we'll hop down to our beach house and join the party.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you for being here, everybody.
And we'll be back right after a little Santa Cruz Voice local promotion.
Here we go.
Thank you. Bye.
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 With a little help from our friends. Santa Cruz Voice would like to rent or lease an office in Mid-County or thereabouts for our hosts and their VIP guests to conduct interviews. We are looking for 200 square feet, give or take, with secure access, and are willing to share with an existing business that has an extra office to rent. If you know of such a space, please let us know at info@santacruzvoice.com. That's info@santacruzvoice.com. And thank you for being a friend.
Attention content producers. You can have access to a complete digital media production facility at Satellite Coworking and Digital Media Studio on Soquel Avenue. Easily rent video and audio equipment, a studio with green screen, editing suite, and audio booth, all at can't say no rates. Schedule a tour to see for yourself at satellitecoworking.com. Mention Santa Cruz Voice for 20% off your first reservation.
The wife says the boat's got to go, no problem. Stores at Anbar Self-Storage in U-Haul, easy off Highway 1 by the airport. 24-hour security for cars, boats, and RVs. Store it away at Anbar Self-Storage in U-Haul in Freedom.
You made the products, now you have to deliver. Anbar Self-Storage and U-Haul has the moving vans, shipping boxes, and packing materials you need to deliver them. Easy off Highway 1 on Airport Boulevard by the airport. Anbar Self-Storage and U-Haul in Freedom.
Get hooked up with affordable cannabis at your neighborhood Hook Outlet dispensary. We have locations in Santa Cruz, Capitola, and Watsonville. At each Hook Outlet, you will find unmatched low prices on the Hook's unparalleled selection of top-quality medical and recreational cannabis flower, vapes, drinks, gummies, and concentrates. The Hook Outlets are Santa Cruz County's best source for the finest cannabis at the lowest prices. See for yourself. Stop by any Hook Outlet and say hi. We'll see you there. HookOutlet.com.
Space news.
Space news. Yes. Yeah, the stuff we normally focus on to keep us looking up.
This interstellar object. What's the latest on 3i Atlas? I got a few stories on that, and Bobby's been tracking it too. What's the latest on your end, Bobby, on 3i Atlas? What have you heard?
Well, what's the most interesting, like Madhava Seti in Substack was saying, the most interesting thing is the lack of data with all the satellites that have been focused on this, especially the ones on Mars and surrounding Mars. They pointed all their instruments at 3i Atlas, and none of it has come out except for one of the ESA satellites. It just had a little streak, and that was it. But you know, the UAE, China, United States, all their data has been...
But not released?
They haven't
hushed.
It's because the government's been closed.
That's the excuse.
Well, the UAE is not closed, or China's not closed. Well,
the UAE not. No, that's true. But you say the UAE data has been held back as well?
Yes. And also, there's ESA, the European Space Agency. Their stuff, they only had one of the land rovers looking at this thing, which with a telescope that's normally designed to look about 6 feet away, and looking very, didn't have the proper telescope.
Yeah, not millions of miles away. Yeah, sure.
But they have other assets that do much better, you know, that can...
When it gets close to Jupiter, that should be pretty exciting.
Well, right. There's Juno, and there's something called JUICE. It's another European is the JUICE, and Juno. I think we definitely have some great stuff there.
More space assets to focus on.
And that won't be until the flyby by Jupiter is March 16th.
So if it stays on course.
March 16th.
Unless somebody changes the heading.
Somebody? Who that somebody might be?
Somebody who's using more than just gravity.
Yeah. Right. Well, another thing I heard is that as it zips through our solar system, it's producing this metal alloy that's never been witnessed in nature. I just saw that this morning. The Keck 2 telescope in Hawaii released some new data from last August, just Wednesday, confirmed that the interstellar flyer is emitting a plume which contains 4 grams of nickel per second with no evidence of iron. And that's apparently really rare or unheard of in comets. And so the end result is an alloy called nickel tetracarbonyl, which has only ever been previously witnessed in human manufacturing, where we use it in metal coatings in manufacturing.
You mean like our nickel faucets, stuff like that?
Nickel coatings, yeah. In the aerospace industry, it strengthens the surface material. Uh-huh. Right. Whenever it's used.
You know, when they make samurai swords and things like that, they would take the steel and they would put carbon, charcoal on it, and it would carbonize it to make it stronger steel when you add carbon to it. Mm-hmm. So when you add carbon to this nickel, it does look like it's a very hard coating, industrial type coating, which doesn't occur in nature.
Yeah, it's not obviously. It's Abby, Abby Loeb, the researcher. It's unusual also because every other known comet, including the other two interstellar objects that we've been studying, nickel and iron have appeared in comparable amounts. So this imbalance is truly unique.
Yeah, usually the iron content is dramatically more, like 20 times more iron as opposed to the nickel composition. But now we have 8 times more nickel than iron. So the ratios have been reversed dramatically. So
yeah,
it is very unusual. It's not naturally found is what they're saying.
Right, right. Yes. The other strange feature of the object coming into focus is its lack of tail, normal cometary tail. Usually
well,
you see...
Well, it has an anti-tail.
Yeah, yeah, the other side, right? It's the front end. It's got very strange.
Yeah, the tail is pointing at the sun.
It's got a head, I guess. Super long, right? Those long heads we see in AI slop.
Initially, it had a green tail pointing toward the sun, which is...
The coma,
It's the first time we've ever seen this happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we normally see the tail following away from the sun.
Right, being blown by the solar wind, right?
Yeah, why are we seeing this jet pointed at the sun, stream of materials coming out of the comet heading to the sun? Is it communicating with the sun in some way, sending a bunch of material?
Well, the sun did send a very directed coronal mass ejection right towards it.
I mean, and this isn't trivial. I mean, this is 330 pounds of material per second.
Uh-huh. Right.
330 pounds per second aimed at the sun.
Huh.
Carbon.
And they were saying how much was nickel? It carbon dioxide or water? It was enough to fill Olympic-sized swimming pool within an hour. Jets coming off of this thing. Carbon dioxide and some water. You know, but
it's mostly carbon dioxide and water with trace amounts of cyanide and nickel without iron.
Yeah, the cyanide's very unusual also.
And it makes it green.
Yeah, it gives it that green color.
Uh-huh.
Some people are saying maybe it's winking at us, you know, because what happens is whenever we announce that we detect these things, and then all of a sudden, dramatically, it would stop, and not due to any solar occurrence or anything, on its own. Right. So is that a form of communication?
Sort of like peekaboo. Okay, now we'll hide again. Now peekaboo. Okay, they responded. Hey, every time we respond back, they're like, okay, they're looking. We're the babies.
That's right. So that's the communication.
I hadn't heard that before. The thing is interrupted.
What happens is it dramatically goes to normal. Like it'll do these strange lights or emissions. And then when we talk about it, it'll stop and it'll go back to normal.
Well, what do you mean when we talk about it? Like, it's on the news?
It sounds
or?
Like quantum reality, man. Like the physics.
Who's talking about it? And what do you mean it stops?
Well, what they say.
Observer effect.
What these outgassings sometime and the way it appears or the light that comes off of it suddenly stops doing these unusual things and goes back to normal. Like what a normal comet would do.
Oh, like somebody turned the system off for the night. Maybe they turned off their internet while they sleep.
And it's not gradual what they're saying. They're saying it's kind of
intermittent.
It's a sudden jump. Yeah.
Right. It's all on or all off.
Yeah.
Okay. Like somebody has to change the gas can or something.
Well, personally, I'm looking forward to the high-rise camera, which will be the closest and best that our species will be able to study. That data should have been collected from the Mars orbiter, ready to go. And we're not seeing it. And we should be able to get a hold of that really soon. We'll see why it's acting the way it is. Maybe we'll get another clue. But what's happening, though, is it seems like it's getting stranger. You know, we're getting more weird information as it approaches the sun.
But now it's on the other side of the sun. Well, it will be directly on the other side. And right now it's so close going behind the sun. We're going behind the sun, actually, and it's going the other side of the sun at the same time.
Ah.
And our instruments, because the sun is so close, it blazes out and we can't really block the sun's radiation to see, sense anything. We do have a couple solar circumventing satellites.
Like the Parker probe.
Yeah, but the problem is it's on this side of the sun. It's on our side, when normally another part of the year it would be on the other side, and they could have detected this, but it happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
The wrong time, yeah.
I think those pesky aliens knew how to confuse us and hide.
So they're going to hide until at least Thanksgiving. I would say the first week in December is when we both come around the sun and we will be able to detect it.
Uh-huh.
But, and there's some sunspots that are very active, and they should be sending at its perihelion as 3I Atlas comes closest to the sun.
Uh-huh.
It's probably going to be hit by the solar mass ejectas. And
we'll watch carefully there too, because will the tail or whatever the
will it even react?
be interact, or is it a projection? I guess we'll find out. Meanwhile, Avi Loeb did warn of taking our vacation before October 29th. I have that clip to play. Let's see if he's kidding or not.
All right, let's listen to this. I got you.
This is Avi Loeb, the Harvard professor investigating the comet. Here we go.
Okay, you know, if we pass closest to the sun on October 29th, 2025, I got a text message the other day from someone who said that he is trading options on the volatility of the market with an expiration date of October 29th. In order to make money. And I immediately thought, I don't know if there will be meaning to money if this object turns out to be technological after October 29th. If you want to take a vacation, take it before that date, because who knows what will happen.
There you go.
All right. So, take a vacation before the market crashes when we find out we're not alone in the universe. Thank you, Avi Loeb.
I heard that he was talking to his brother, and his brother was suggesting shorting the market on the 29th.
Mm, there you go. Yeah, because you want to be somebody who like profited at everybody else's expense at the end of time. Sure.
So, well, it was a Global Disclosure Day last Sunday.
Yeah, how much of that did you watch? I didn't have time to watch
it. A few minutes of it.
I love
a long
that
time,
stuff.
Yeah. Global Disclosure Day.
Yeah,
Johnny Sheehan was helping to host it.
He's a disclosure guy.
Last year was the first year of it. This was year. And they had several segments looking at the UFOs through history, and then looking at today and the power of the public in getting transparency happening. And then he had a live panel with Dr. Jim Garrison, with some of the big leaders in ufology there, Richard Dolan, Colonel Carl Nell, Danny Sheehan, of course, Representative Eric Bullison, Roth Coulthart, Anna Brady Estevez, the only woman I could see on the panel, Reed Summers, Chris Bledsoe, Kirk McConnell, Randy Hayes, and Jesse Michaels, to talk about what's next. Mm-hmm. And from what I can see, if I had to summarize very quickly, I think there's a generally believing that we've been being watched as a species for a very long time, that this is kind of like a terrarium planet where many feel that we're an experiment of others and basically kept here to see how it goes. Maybe it's for biology itself as an experiment.
Or maybe it's just the natural evolution of civilizations they plant a species on a water planet and let them evolve until they discover artificial intelligence and get off the planet. Then they've launched a whole new civilization.
Yeah, well. Or we were created by synthetics experimenting with biology.
Very likely.
In which case, we're the synthetics. Yes. Anyway, nobody knows.
Well, but it could be that all life on Earth was created by a synthetic seeding galactic population, that's just what they do, is they go to star to star to star, and then they create life around the stars.
I've heard the Greys were collecting DNA samples so that if we blow this planet up, they can repopulate another one somewhere with all the DNA from this one.
Yeah, so makes for a good story, Al.
It's all
but
stories.
If they seeded us, they don't necessarily need our DNA.
No.
They can just copy it. You know?
And then there's the idea that a lot of them pointed out that people who are being contacted are not necessarily government people or people in charge, but they're talking to everyday citizens, that there's a direct alien connection with lots of people.
Yeah, they're looking for friends. They're looking for people who are interested in them, care about their well-being, aren't going to misconstrue the communication and come after them.
Uh-huh. Right. So they're looking for affinities.
They're looking for friendly contact.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Nice. Then there's the seekers, you know, the ones that are looking hard. Our friend Brad Olson is publishing a new book.
Uh-huh.
His focus is kind of
the archons. He's into the evil ones.
He's into the Nazis. I mean, uh-huh. In terms of Antarctica and what happened under Antarctica during the war.
Argentina also.
And Argentina, right?
You can't forget Hitler. You know,
I mean, the CIA. Where a lot of Americans might end up too after this administration.
Yeah.
So Argentina, yeah.
This is Brad Olson, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's written a book on Antarctica.
No kidding! Wow, you got to get him on the air.
Oh, we will. We'll bring him back. We've had him on earlier, but his esoteric series. But yeah. This will be good. Global Disclosure Day, Brad Olson, Antarctica, all have been in the news. But I do have some more space news.
Keep going.
Quite interesting.
I'm ready. There's a news story about the moon.
The moon and the Earth.
There's two
news stories that have to do with our origin stories. In this case, the moon, everyone who's going to the moon is going to the South Pole right now. Now, why the South Pole?
It's warmer.
It's warmer, on the moon. No atmosphere. I don't think so, Mrs. Future.
That's the problem with the moon. That's not why they're going to the South Pole of the moon?
No.
Tell me more.
The moon, because it's got the largest crater there.
Oh, well.
Okay.
And I suppose that attracts the tourists.
Well, the moon's largest crater, it's called the South Pole Aitken, Aitken Basin. It's formed 4.3 billion years ago. It's 1,200 miles across. It's a huge crater. They figured out that it was a result of a glancing southward blow, not a head-on asteroid impact, as previously thought. It was a glancing blow.
Okay, so a meteorite went and hit it and skidded over the moon at the South Pole.
Think of a cool break. It hit it and then went back out into space.
Again. Right.
Like part of it went into
two rocks colliding in space.
A big chunk of it went into the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that chunk has a gravity anomaly around it. Kind of like, remember, in 2001, A Space Odyssey, they found gravity anomalies where they found the monolith on
Jupiter. Yeah.
No, they found it initially on the moon.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right. It was on Earth, then it was on the moon, then it was on Jupiter.
Yeah. What'd you say, Bobby?
And it had a beacon that was going to Jupiter. And that's why they had the exploration.
The mission
to Jupiter.
Yeah.
To find out why.
Chase down that message.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about this rock, this huge asteroid, it contained apparently metal.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of metal might be
magnetic
buried in the moon. That's one of the possibilities.
Oh, okay. So
So it's kind of like we have a probe going to Psyche, which is a metal asteroid.
Right.
It's got more metal and valuable metal.
So the space pirates are going to get
valuable,
there first,
like
huh?
Platinum, gold,
than
there is on Earth. And maybe, just maybe, this big chunk of metal on the moon might have some valuable materials in it too. All the human groups going to the moon over the next 10 years are heading to the South Pole. So I think that's part of it, is the Aitken crater. The way in which it glanced off the moon has implications for why the far side of the moon has so many craters and this side of the moon is mostly smooth comparatively.
Which affected that.
Volcanism. It affected the volcanism, which caused much more flows on this side of the moon.
Okay, so the meteorite skidded across the moon, and then that created a bunch of hot lava on the surface of the moon, and that hot lava smoothed out the south face.
Yeah, it activated a lot of volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
It was once covered in a magma ocean, and the result of this affected the way in which the magma ocean solidified. Heavier metal sank to the mantle, while lighter ones floated to its surface to form the crust. And the leftover minerals, potassium, rare earth elements, phosphorus, evaded much of that process and became concentrated in the magma ocean and trapped between the metal and the crust and created a smoother surface.
Hmm.
So we have more of a magma ocean surface on this side of the moon than the other side.
Hmm.
Well, I wanted to pass that on. We only have a few minutes left. So the other story was that we've discovered something about the Earth, that we've discovered evidence of a proto-Earth that's buried deep within this Earth, an earlier Earth that also back at the time when this asteroid hit the moon, a little bit earlier, 4.5 billion years ago, there's evidence that material from the original Earth was hit by an asteroid the size of Mars. Right?
Really?
A huge asteroid that whacked into the Earth.
4.5 billion years
ago. Yeah, 4.5 billion years
ago. Right at our origin, what we considered the start of our planet.
And our planet, it was already kind of magma. It was kind of soft, gushy. And this big rock hit it and went into it and formed the surface. A lot of the surface is from the new, from the asteroid that hit.
Uh-huh.
But underneath the surface is the old Earth, the original Earth. There was a blob hit by an asteroid. The asteroid affected the surface.
So the asteroid smushed all over the surface of the blob was here before.
Right, and created crust.
So the crust is a big smush.
Proto-Earth is underneath it.
Okay.
So there's a group of scientists studying proto-Earth now. Mm-hmm. They're kind of very interested in what this looks like.
Which
remnants, was that what created the moon?
I'm not sure what the connection to the moon. I think it was the moon was 200 million years later.
Was it captured then? Or was it another glancing blow on the Earth?
No, I think it actually captured. The asteroid that hit became our surface. And the ones that hit the moon bounced off of it.
Richard Ely did a report that is available on YouTube about the origin of the moon from a geology point of view of what happened. And I think that there is a story called Theta. I think Theta is the name of the object that formed the moon after the impact with Earth.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and the way they're measuring this is they're using potassium isotopes. Ancient rock has less potassium 40 in it than newer rock. The potential fingerprint of material that survived from the proto-Earth itself.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we see a piece of the very ancient Earth even before the giant impact.
Hmm.
And then we can see it in certain parts of the world. In Canada, Greenland areas, you can see some of this.
I see. The old parts of Earth that aren't covered by the smush.
Yeah, apparently.
That was the backside of the Earth ball.
And that reminds me of one more story along these lines. In Greenland and in other areas in the North Pole area, they're discovering that ancient ice is melting and releasing microbes frozen for 40,000 years. So they've been studying these ancient microbes. They've been going into the hillside and then intentionally pulling them out and putting them into petri dishes and see how they grow and whether or not they propagate. And if so, what do they eat and what are their byproducts?
Mm-hmm.
They're finding out that they can live quite well in modern civilization, modern times.
The microbes.
Modern ecosystems that they find themselves in. And they put out lots of carbon dioxide. So which is concerning to our Earth climate folks.
We want less of that, not more.
Carbon dioxide go out. We're going to have to do something with all that carbon dioxide.
Well, that's calling it a day. We got 30 seconds to say that's a fun day.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Any final thoughts on all this?
Yeah, look up. You can see comets.
Green comets,
right after sunset.
45 minutes after sunset, you might see two comets.
Right.
Near the Big Dipper, right? Near the Big Dipper.
What are their names? They're named after the telescope.
Lemon and Swan.
Lemon and Swan by the Great Dipper, 45 minutes after sunset, tonight.
Have a great future now, everybody. Thanks to everybody who is listening and our guests and reality itself.
So I'm going
to
play my birthday song again here.
Let's hear your birthday song again.
Here's
so cool.
Here we go.
Yeah. The signal's live. Transmission clear. We're tuning in to the one and only Dr. Future. At Lundell and Son on the cosmic station, broadcasting brilliance and pure vibration. Happy birthday, Al, let's light it up. Happy birthday, Al Lundell. Dr. Future on the mic, dropping deep space truth that the algorithms like, but no machine can clone that flow. Too much heart in the frequency glow. You talk stars, dreams, tech and time, cosmic visions with rhythm and rhyme. You win some, bring the vibe so real. AI can't compute that future feel. Happy birthday, Dr. Future, Alan Dale. AI can't compute your spell. Too much soul in your design. No program can cross that line. Dr. Future, Alan Dale. AI can't compute your spell. Too much soul in your design. No program can cross that line.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
All right.